Wednesday, August 4th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope you, your family, your friends, you're all staying healthy out in this time where we kind of feel like we were getting done with the pandemic, and now we're not quite sure, but we're hoping everything continues to be on a good, positive incline and that things are improving. Hope that you are staying healthy mentally as well as physically right now. We are happy to have you here with us today. And you know, like we kind of talked about last week, there are some things going on in the world of sports that we could talk about today. We could talk about, obviously, the NBA draft. We could talk about NFL training camps opening up. We could talk about some of the big moves that took place in Major League Baseball. We could, of course, talk about whether or not Russell Westbrook is going to make the Lakers a championship team again, or if he's just going to hog the ball and cause a lot of problems for that team. Got a lot of thoughts on a number of items out there, but I am telling you right now, I have something even more special for you this week. You know, I've told you over the past few weeks that I was working on a few really special summer shows for you. And last week, we had Freddie Stevenson. He came on, talked a little about his time with Florida State, talked a little about his background growing up, talked a little bit about playing in the NFL for the Chicago Bears, and he was such a nice guy. I really enjoyed our conversation. Well, I'm telling you right now, I have another conversation for you today that you are not going to want to miss, because this week I have another very special guest that is going to join us today on the Daily Dose. I have a former NFL player, and he wasn't just on the team. This is one of the one percenters. This is one of the dominant players that played in the National Football League. I mean, get this, he was a first round draft choice. He earned NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year honors in his first season. He recorded 39 and a half quarterback sacks in his first three seasons. He was elected to three Pro Bowls. He was named a first team All-Pro two different times. Kids, I'm talking about an elite athlete here. And you know what? He isn't done. He is now on to another challenge that we're going to be talking about today. And I won't doubt anything this guy does, because he is just that guy that will find a way to get things done, whatever he's doing. So right now, I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy our conversation with Lights Out. Yes, I am talking about Sean Merriman. I want to welcome Sean Merriman to the Daily Dose today. Sean, I have so many things I want to ask you. I want to talk to you about your NFL career, your college career, even a little bit about your background growing up. But you have some big, big stuff going on right now. First off, though, thank you so much for coming into the Daily Dose.
No, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Sean's MMA company, Lights Out Extreme Fighting, is going to be having their first event post-COVID, I believe, because I think you were trying to get this going last May, and then obviously everything hit, and so you didn't get to do that. It is going to be at the Commerce in Commerce, California. Sean, you got a big weekend coming up August 7th. Please tell the listeners what you have going on over there and how they can be a part of it.
Yes, Lights Out Extreme Fighting. We're back at the Commerce Casino August 7th. And we couldn't wait, man, because we actually got shut down during our weigh-ins in March. And we, you know, we all thought it was going to be, a couple months and we're back to normal. And it turns out to be a year. And so I was, you know, me being a former athlete, I'm always worried about the fighters, right? Like, these guys train. This is what they want to do for a living, to take care of their families this way. So I was, you know, as much as I was not happy about us not fighting, I was more concerned that the fighters didn't actually get out and go and do something that they love to do. Sure. So we're back August 7th, Commerce Casino. Get your tickets at lightsoutxstep.com or just show up, man. We'll find a way to make it work.
Sean, how can we watch this? Is this something that's going to be out there for us to be able to, you know, pay-per-view or whatever? Is that something that's available to us?
Yes, we will be announcing a streaming partnership here in the next couple of days or so.
That's good.
And you guys will be able to watch all over the country, but we cannot wait to announce this because we've been regional for some time now for our past four fights. So this is a big step for us to stream our fights live. So we cannot wait to announce that.
Sean, you had an amazing NFL career. You played eight seasons at an insanely high level. You finish your playing days, and now you're jumping into this MMA world, bringing promotion, even training as a fighter yourself. What was it about MMA that brought you in?
You know, it's funny. So I initially tried MMA out because I wanted to get better as a football player. I want to get better as a pass rusher. So I got in it to actually learn, get better with my hands. And as a pass rusher, you got to have active and violent hands. And I was working on that, and I came out in 2006, had a big year, led the league in sacks. My body's frames changed a little bit too, because I was doing more cardio, more endurance. I was able to open up my hips and turn the corner of those big offensive tackles. And I actually try to tell a lot of former athletes, I say, pick up a discipline. Like when you retire, it's so hard to go from that amount of high to run out to 70, 80,000 people and to not being active, not being able to compete anymore. So that's my way of really just staying around the sport. And we have a ton of former athletes, NFL, NHL, rugby, who are making a transition into lights out extreme fighting right now. So I can't wait to announce that as well.
See, and that's really cool because that's going to pull in so many people, maybe from other sports, might not even follow MMA, but that's really cool because they're going to jump in and they're going to find those fighters that they remember from their playing days. Sean, you boxed growing up, though, and it seemed to be a big part of your life growing up. How did you get into boxing as a kid?
You know, it's crazy. So back in D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, I grew up in Prince George's County. I had a couple professional boxers in the family, uncles or whatnot. But we used to box at the cookouts. I mean, like we had family reunions and my grandmother sitting over in the corner and my aunts and uncles and everybody. And so when there's an argument breakout, somebody had a problem, it was automatically go get the boxing gloves. Like that's how everything was settled. So, you know, that I came from that background. But when MMA got big in the mid 2000s, you know, 2005, 2006, I noticed it was something there because, it, you know, in football, you can tackle and do these things. It's the same kind of correlation when you're talking about MMA and being able to take guys down, work on your craft, jiu-jitsu, all those things. And that was kind of right up my alley anyway.
Who are the fighters you admired growing up? Did you have fighters, certain guys that you watched? I know you had it in your family, so you're probably watching them, but were there certain fighters that you were like, that's the guy, I really like watching him fight?
You know what? It was a lot of champions coming from that D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Virginia. There was a lot of champions. Mike Tyson is always going to be my favorite boxer of all time. But, you know, Marvin Hagler, Hitman Hearns, like even, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard
had old enough to have watched those guys, are you?
Oh, I mean, well, I was born in 84. But so Sugar Ray Leonard had a boxing gym back from where I'm from in Palmer Park, Maryland. I mean, his Sugar Ray Leonard boxing gym. I grew up not too far from that. So I've always been around it. And, you know, it was kind of crazy time and really good timing that MMA got big at the same time that I was actually trying to pick up another a discipline.
Well, and I say that because I picture you as so much younger, but you saw a little bit of a golden era when you're talking about Hearns and Hagler and Leonard. And I go back and I show even my kids those fights now. And I'm like, no, you're not going to believe this. This is not us like glamorizing what used to be. This was an amazing era in fighting.
Oh yeah. But you know, me, I'm a boxing. I love fighting. I mean, I've been around it for so long. And so, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson, I've watched so much, man. I watched so many fighters and some of the fighters that people don't actually know about, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've just been around it for a long time and I love combat sports in general.
That's so awesome. And like you talked about, not only did you take it up because you were around it, because you loved it, but because it helped your hand speed, you had to feel like you had an advantage over some of those big guys because you're going, hey, you don't realize what I'm doing in the gym every day.
No, 100%. No doubt about that at all. You know, for me, it was more of, you know, you come from just competing all the time. And then, you know, there's no pickup football games going on, right? Like you're not going out playing football. So for me to go in there with these fighters and just learn, you know, pick up a discipline, learn, working my craft a little bit, also get a good workout. But, you know, for me, it's been more of a mental health and balance than anything else. I mean, physical too, but more on the mental side as well.
Well, and that's a really good point you bring up, because right now we're going through this pandemic. You're seeing so many people and you're hearing so many people talk about mental health. Going out and getting involved in something like this, in something like, even if you're going to your local gym and you're picking up fighting a little bit and you're learning how to spar, getting to have that bear chase you a little bit kind of helps you sort some things out mentally, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. And you know, I think that even for myself, when I started playing football, it was a section of meditation that was there. You know, I had a lot of aggression growing up. I wanted to always like fight and get into stuff and, you know, get after it. And football was a taming mechanism for me. And now it's become more of MMA, right? And training, sure. Boxing. Even if I go and I get 6 rounds of hidden pads, whatever that is, it's that it keeps me going. It keeps me balanced.
Sean, you attended the University of Maryland. You opted to stay close to home, I'm assuming. Did you consider going anywhere else? There had to be other schools chasing you. You're a highly recruited two-sport athlete, I believe, because you played basketball too, didn't you?
Yeah, I played basketball, yeah.
Okay. Who else was chasing you? Who else wanted you?
Well, I had letters from a lot of the bigger schools in college. We had a lot of letters. I committed as a junior. And if I didn't go to Maryland, I probably would have ended up at Miami. I mean, that was the only place I would have went outside of Maryland. But for me, I wanted to stay home. Yeah. I try to, when I talk to, you know, up and coming student athletes, I say, look, Maryland, DC, Virginia area, we have the best talent here. We can compete with anybody else in the country.
Sure.
Look across the board at all the pros that came from DC, Maryland, Virginia area. If you guys stay home, we can play against the Texas, kids. We can play against Florida, Georgia, Ohio, California. But the thing is, you have to stay home and we can compete with anybody.
Well, and you look at those high schools in that area and some of the studs that are coming through there every year. But like you said, you got to keep them. Ralph Ridgen did a lot of really, really good recruiting in that area. He made sure to keep that talent there. Got to ask you, when you see the new name and likeness endorsement opportunities for college kids that are taking place now, I'm sure there's part of you that's really, really happy for kids. They can make some money. There also has to be part of you going, where was that stuff when I was around? Because I could have made some big money. You were a hometown guy. You could have made some money.
Yeah, you get a little part of that. But it's almost like when you see these big contracts for guys. I mean, some of the guys that are, you know, C-plus, B-minus guys are still getting big contracts. You don't sit back and say, oh, well, we didn't get paid. You know, I hate the old school guy. You're like when the old school guys come in, I'm like, oh, yeah, back in the day, we used to play football in leather helmets and we had no teeth. Right.
Sure, sure.
Like, come on. You know, it's supposed to get better. Right. Yeah. So I'm really happy for the new student athletes to get an opportunity to get a rev share and get something off of what they've built, which is their name.
Right.
And so, you know, the universities, they're going to make their money. They're going to continue to grow and they're going to continue to do their thing. NCAA is good. They're going to continue to make a gazillion dollars. But these student athletes have a right to get what's theirs off of their name. They should be able to profit off of their names.
Well, and they only have a set amount of time. That window, as you know, that window is so small for these kids. Some of these kids, college is as far as it goes. But yeah, it's exciting to see these kids get a chance to do this. Sean, you get drafted with the 12th pick of the 2005 NFL draft by the San Diego Chargers. You're actually kind of part of that Eli Manning, Philip Rivers deal. What do you remember about draft day going back that far?
Well, initially, they start talking about me with pick number 3 with Cleveland.
Okay.
And I remember my name coming up because I was like, I don't want to go to Cleveland. Yeah. But, you know, when you get options to get drafted, you know, somewhere in the top 10, top 15, you're hoping that it's, you know, at least to a good city or whatnot.
Sure.
But they end up going with Braylon Edwards. But, you know, fortunately, I took the trip to Dallas, the Redskins, Detroit Lions, and then the Chargers. So every team told me that if I was there, they were probably going to draft. Well, except for the Lions. Every team told me that they were going to draft me if I was there. So you really don't know, right? My friends and family and coaches and everybody is sitting there with Dallas Cowboy Merriman jerseys, and sure. You know, some got Redskins Merriman jerseys. So you got all this going on, and you know, it's just it was exciting. One of the best days of my life, because you sit back and you look. For one, you're a junior. You're coming out.
Yeah.
You expect to go high, but you have no idea. And then when I got drafted by the Chargers, it was actually where I wanted to go. I've never even been to the West Coast before until they brought me out on a visit. Never seen palm trees in person. I mean, I've seen them on TV. I've never seen like a beach that nice. And I mean, it was when we flew in, I was like, man, please let me get drafted here. Oh, and it actually happened.
Well, in San Diego is such a gorgeous city. You're going into a pretty good situation as far as the team. Some pretty good talent. I know you had a contract holdout as a rookie, but you come into the NFL from day one, you looked like an NFL player. I mean, you make the Pro Bowl as a rookie. You talked about it earlier. We see so many young guys coming out now. They almost need the red shirt a year or two because they're so young. They want to get to the league and make their money. And I get it. But how are you able to play at such a high level from the start?
Well, for me, I credit a lot of that because I had some older guys and like LeVar Arrington, Ray Lewis. I mean, I was around these guys when I was in high school and college.
Okay.
So I learned how to train like a pro, watch film like a pro, you know, just go about the level and just be a professional at a young age. I mean, I was ready to play on the next level. I was ready to be a, you know, someone's franchise player. And mentally, I was there. Physically, I was there. And I just knew if I got the opportunity, I was going to jump out the gate, in which I did.
Yeah, you absolutely did. It pains me to say that as a Bronco fan. But yes, you were a guy that I remember on Sunday going, man, we're going to have a long day. We were going to have our hands full with that guy.
Okay, coming back, I want to talk a little more to Sean about his NFL career. You know, Sean talks about some of his favorite coaches in his career, who he modeled his game after, and he even talks about the quarterback that he sacked that he is the most proud of. We still have a lot more to get to today with Sean Merriman when we get back. Right now, let's jump back into our conversation with Lights Out, Sean Merriman.
You played for two coaches that fans here in Denver are pretty familiar with. You start off in San Diego with the late Marty Schottenheimer as your head coach. How was Marty to play for?
Man, he was the greatest. Even outside of a coach, right? He was like a mentor, somebody you knew cared about you far beyond playing football. He really cared, and he showed you that because he was a very passionate, emotional, get it done type of a coach. And I was, I was kind of blessed and honored to come into a coach like that, because not that doesn't happen, right? I mean, guys come into the NFL, you get some pretty bad coaches.
Sure.
And when that happens, your career can go any kind of way just based on who's your coach. So it's a lot of luck in that. So I was fortunate to play for Marty Schottenheimer, for sure.
And Marty is a guy that I think is so underrated. People think of, well, this game or that game. Man, Marty was just good everywhere he went. There's not that many guys that can go from team to team to team and win everywhere he went. It didn't matter. He always found ways to win.
Well, I always say this, the winning starts at the top, right? I mean, yes, you can have a absolutely great team, but the person, the coach that's leading your team, it trickles down. It's a big trickle down effect. And the way we play ball, we call it in with the Chargers, Marty, we had Marty ball, right? We're going to run the ball 25, 35 times a game. They know we're going to run. You can't stop us. That was the attitude.
Sure.
And we practiced like that every day. It was physical practice. Sometimes we'll line up on goal line and take each other. I mean, it was full go. And some days he'll come out and just, hey, take it easy. We're just going to, you know. So he had just the right amount of discipline, hard nose, tough. And the second part of it is you just knew he cared. He was compassionate, that he just wanted you to win in life.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like such a good guy. Sean, you also had another coach that is near and dear to our hearts here in Denver. You had Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator early in your career. What did you learn from Wade Phillips?
That is my man, 50 grand. That is my guy. You know, one thing about Wade, Wade never yelled at me. Not one time. He's not one single time. I just knew that when he called the play, he put you in a position to win. Yeah. So if you messed up and you didn't make the play, you felt worse than anything he can ever say to you. And one thing I've learned about Wade and just great coaches in general is that they want you to do what you do best. Right. So you have these coaches sometimes come in there and say, this is my scheme. I want everybody to do this. This is how I want it ran. And I don't care. Right.
Yep.
Well, you do that, you're going to lose.
Yes.
The great coaches say, you know what? That's what I have here. This guy's fast. This guy's not. This guy can cover it. This guy can't. And you go through the whole deck and see what guys do great, and you have them doing that. If they don't, they don't do it. And that's Wade Phillips in a nutshell. He was going to find out what you were great at doing, and he was going to do just that. He knew that I can get after the quarterback, and you know, I will require double teams, and I was tough and I was physical, and I had speed. So he put me in those positions where I was a game changer in those positions. He didn't have me running down the field with a tight end.
Sure.
Right. He didn't have me covering a lot of backs at the backfield too often. I was, you know, probably 70-30 or 80-20 as far as pass rush to drop it.
Right. Well, and you bring up such a good point, and so many coaches we talked about earlier where you were saying, you know, a lot of coaches come into the NFL and they don't do as well. And I am convinced it is because of that reason you just mentioned. They don't always put their players in positions to be successful because they say, no, this is my scheme, run it. Who cares what your scheme is? Use the talent that you have.
No, absolutely. And you see that a lot. And it's nothing wrong with a coach implementing the way he wants things done, right?
Sure.
As an organization, as a team, I want meeting times at this time, and this is when we do this, and structure, if you're used to that. But if you come in and you see a guy that is struggling on covering running backs at the backfield, but you make him cover running backs at the backfield,
right,
that's your fault as a coach.
Absolutely.
Okay, what is he good at? Is he great at playing the run? All right, cool. Let's bring him in on first and second down because that's what he's great at doing.
Sure.
And so when you do that, you it just shows signs of a great coach.
Definitely. Sean, I know you probably didn't have this very much because you came in, like I talked about, you were ready to go. You were ready to play. Did you have any kind of that welcome to the NFL moment? Is there any point where you're looking across and going, do I really got to cover this guy? Do I really got to, you know, pass rush against this guy?
For me, it was kind of lining up against Lorenzo Neal, right? Well, like, because yeah. You know that Lowe's going to bring it. But then again, I walked into the locker room with, you know, potentially four or five different Hall of Famers.
Sure.
Right. So that's already enough. You just walking in and like LaDainian Tomlinson's locker's down there. Antonio Gates' locker's across from you. Phillip Rivers is diagonal to you. You got Nick Harwick, you know, all pro center. Lorenzo Neal, you're looking around and you're like, damn, you know, you automatically come in there. And I had a lot of vets, Randall Godfrey and Donnie Edwards. You know, these guys have been in the league 10, 12 plus years already when I came in and decorated pro bowlers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I came in and I knew I had to perform or they were going to be on you.
I don't want to jump ahead too far, but LaDainian Tomlinson getting elected into the Hall of Fame a few years back had to be thrilling for you as a teammate.
I was there and, you know, it was so gratifying for me to be able to see that because I watched him work every day. Right. A lot of people watch what he did in the games, but I actually watch what he did every single day.
Sure.
And so that to me was special. When you have a brotherhood like that, it almost feel like you're going to the Hall of Fame. So it was great for me.
That's awesome. Sean, did you have a player growing up, I guess, that you kind of modeled your game after? I know the obvious choice is Junior Seau and everybody that watched you play for the Chargers. There was someone else?
Well, yeah, obviously. Lawrence Taylor, man, that's why I wore 56. And LeVar Arrington was an older brother, a mentor of mine. Lawrence Taylor, it was something about him that when he made people fear him that I had really taken a liking to him. And I still to this day, I don't have a favorite football team. I have, you know, players that I looked and I watched growing up, you know, the Reggie Whites of the world and, you know, the Bruce Smiths. These guys who made people fear them. But like Lawrence Taylor, man, he put the fear of God into people where they were afraid of him to play against him. And that part I've always admired. And that's what really got me to the game of football.
Well, and you mentioned a lot of guys, though, that played in a similar style to you in that high motor every single second there on the field. And that's what you always brought to the field as well. That motor had to come from somewhere. Was that something you developed as a little kid? Was that a high school thing? When did that develop?
I think it's a mentality thing. You know, yeah. I grew up in we had a very tough upbringing in the PG County, Maryland area. And I think it's a mentality because when you get to the pros, everybody's big, everybody's strong and fast. And, you know, everybody can do that, but it's the one to willing to turn it on and keep it on for 60 minutes. That's really the difference in the you know, the guys that's in the NFL, your pro bowlers, your all pros and your defensive and offensive players of the year. When you start getting to those elite levels, that's the difference.
Sean, you play 8 seasons in the NFL. You travel around, you see all these different towns, you play all these different teams. You mentioned you don't necessarily have a favorite team, but was there a team that you loved to go beat? Was there a fan base or a specific team that you loved going into their place and just shutting their fans up?
The Raiders. I mean, it's, of course. By far, you know, you go into the black hole.
Yes.
And which is just a scary sight in general, because it's like Halloween in there and they're saying all types of things to you. They're doing all types of things, throwing things. It doesn't matter. And so when you go out there and you really start to beat up on the Raiders and you shut them up and see the faces, you know, that makeup starts to run down their face a little bit after the game.
Sure.
Of course you get a kick out of that.
I can't imagine the things that you saw in the black hole actually being there game after game, because that place is insane.
Absolutely.
It's kind of that, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I'm glad that we can at least have that, you know, Raider hatred going, because that has always been a fun place for teams to go in and find ways to beat them. It's got to be a little bit different now going to Vegas, though, doesn't it? That's not quite the same.
Well, if any team was going to move to Vegas, it should have been the Raiders. There's nobody else, because the Raiders, you know, and I hate to say this, but they have a great fan base as far as all over the country and sometimes all over the world. You know, I'm in, you know, Europe sometime, you know, way before the pandemic, and you're walking around and you're seeing Raiders jerseys because they travel and they just have that prestige.
Sean, you had an ability, a knack for getting to the quarterback. You rushed the quarterback. It was what you did, and you did it so well. Is there a quarterback out there that you're really, really proud of that you got to? Maybe you even picked him off. But
Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady. You can stop now.
There you go. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Brady.
It would always be Tom Brady, because when you line up against him, you know you line up against greatness, and you know you have to have your best game because you're going to get his.
Yes. He's so smart. And he's so well prepared.
And competitive. What's keeping Tom Brady in the NFL right now playing the way he's playing is not his athletic ability.
No.
It's not his he can't throw a ball off his back leg 60, 70 yards down the field. It's the ability to want to win and compete under all circumstances. And so when he has that, it just drives everything else, whether it's him keeping up with his crazy diet or him keeping up with his preparation. It's just really his ability to compete across the board.
Is there anyone that you wish you'd have gotten a hit? You wish you'd have gotten a sack? You wish you'd have gotten an intercept? Is there anybody that you think of now? I can put you out there for one game right now, Sean. Is there somebody that you want to go out and get today?
I never got Aaron Rodgers. I don't think I sacked Aaron Rodgers. We played against him and they ate us up pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think that I got Aaron Rodgers. That if I could go back and get anybody, it would probably be him.
Another guy that I know we kind of look at some of his physical tools, but another guy that prepares to win and just goes out and competes every single week. He's got more tools right now in his arsenal maybe than a Brady, but man, Aaron Rodgers is really, really good.
It's just he's next level. And I've played with Phillip. Phillip is a great quarterback. I've also played with Drew Brees my first year when I came in it with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is kind of on a different level of athlete. And I'm not talking about because he's able to run and stuff like that. I'm just what he's able to create and how accurate he is. And he can go out and have it's like a one man show, and he can put it on you at any given time.
Really, really hoping he's going to, you know, end up here, but you know, that's neither here nor there. If I'm the Packers, there's no way I'd move that guy, but
I wouldn't put that pass. Yeah.
I wish, but Sean, you're a smart guy. I know you would have adapted, but how hard would it have been for you to change your game for this era that you play in now, where they kind of try to neuter that physicality that you always played with? I know you would have adapted, but what would you have had to change?
For me, you know, the hit with the head, I've never really been penalized for any of that stuff, but I think it would have changed with me because I'm a get the quarterback to the ground by any means necessary.
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, now you can't have your body around their knees and you can't crawl, you got to get up. So those would have been a thing. I mean, I don't know if you remember the big kind of tomahawk swipe at Drew Brees across the chest. And,
oh, yeah.
And they, you know, so those, because I'm like, if I see the ball, I'm tomahawking, I'm swiping, I'm slapping, and wherever my hand lands, and it lands. But now, you know, you can't do that. So I think that's the hitting part. I'd be fine. I never had a helmet to helmet type of deal.
Right.
But I would have definitely had to change that part of my game for sure.
We talked about this just briefly right before we started, but Do you watch the NFL now? Are there certain guys that you follow in the NFL or certain teams that you kind of keep an eye on? Or do you struggle to watch the NFL these days?
No, that's every week. You know, I'm a fan of a lot of these guys. You know, I told you Von Miller is like a little brother of mine. I still love watching Von. I'm so glad that he came back. Yeah. He's coached by my former linebacker coach there with John Pagano.
Sure.
Who coached me when I first came in the NFL.
Yep.
You know, Khalil Mack is another one who I love watching Khalil because he just wreaks havoc, always requires a double team. And you got to throw Aaron Donald up in there because what he's been able to do at that interior position is just next level. So, yeah, there's definitely guys that I sit back and I watch that I just really, really enjoy watch playing.
Von Miller, Khalil Mack, those are two guys that right off the bat kind of remind me a little bit of the way you played the game. They both kind of have that same sort of style, that same sort of get to the quarterback by any means necessary, and they are so fun to watch.
No, and that's why. I mean, I look at guys that just play the game nasty. I mean, Vaughn can beat you any old given way. He can come under you, go around you, spin move you, get you with a pump move or whatever it is. Aaron Donald is just Aaron Donald. He's the best defense player in NFL. And Khalil Mack is just so damn relentless.
Yes.
It's just watching. It's just I love watching him play because at all times he's always giving maximum effort. He'll dive over the top and try to finish plays. He's just relentless at all times.
We talked a little bit about, you know, the Tom Brady's and even Aaron Rodgers. As a player, was there a quarterback that you preferred, a style of quarterback that you preferred to go after? Was there a quarterback that you looked at and said, I don't like, you know, maybe the Michael Vicks. That's a pain. I would rather have the pocket guy. Or did the pocket guy drive you crazy because you're trying to get to him and get rid of it so quick?
No, I like the Statue of Liberty is what I used to call it. Yeah. I wanted to just stand there with the hand up.
I wanted
Peyton Manning. I wanted Tom Brady. I love playing against those guys. They stand there and do two things. They're going to step up in the pocket or they're going to go down because they don't want to be hit. So either way, one of those sacks works for me.
Sean, you've got a big night on August 7th. I would assume there will be some nerves on August 7th going into that. You're putting this up. You're kind of promoting this. You're getting this going. You want it to go well. Do you prefer those kind of nerves or would you rather be going out and getting ready to play yourself? It's kind of a different feeling, but there's definitely some nervousness there.
You know, it's nervousness on our side because I want the fans to always enjoy coming to the fight. I want big fights to happen. You're hoping that all the fighters get to the fights healthy. You always have some last minute guys, you know, tweak an ankle or something happens and kind of back off of training, whatever. But the second part of it is that it's more nervousness of a fight and promoting the fight because I can't do anything about it. You got to cross your fingers and hope that it goes well. When I get nervous before a football game, I'm going out and after you have those first, you know, two hits, the nerves are gone.
Sure. Sure. It's just a totally different thing. I compare it even to like coaching, the coaching side of it. I can't go out and go through warmups myself. I just got to stand there. Yeah. It's a little bit more painful in that way. I'd rather be more involved in going out there. Hey, I heard a rumor that you're still talking about getting in the ring for a pro fight yourself. Is there any truth to this?
Well, yes and no. Right. So the first part of it is that, I enjoy training. I'm trained with these guys 3-4 days a week, sometimes more. I love being around the sport. But I always say this, you can play football, you can play basketball, you can't play fighting.
That's true.
And so if you're not going to be all the way in, don't do it.
Yes.
I enjoy promoting the league. I enjoy promoting the fighters. But if the right opportunity came about, I'll fight somebody in Lights Out Extreme Fighting if it was the right opportunity. And I knew that people wanted to see it. Absolutely.
Can we get you in there with one of those Paul boys?
Yeah, MMA, I'll take that fight tomorrow. I wouldn't even.
Of course, they're not getting in there with a guy like you. They're going to try to get in there with a lightweight. They don't want to do anything like that. That's too much.
That's fine. It'll be a lot funner for me.
I understand. Hey, Sean, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Daily Dose. You are welcome to come in anytime you want to talk. You know the thing that really stood out to me that you're doing. I love what you're doing for young fighters. We've heard the stories of the Don Kings and the promoters that went out there. They're not helping these kids. They're not helping them carve a path and carve a career out. That's the part that I love that you're doing. These kids need some help. They don't know how to do this. There's no college to go learn how to do this stuff. I love that you're helping young fighters. They need it so much.
I appreciate it, man. It was important to me, obviously being a former athlete and now getting a chance to come into a different industry, have an experience and gone through the course and passing that information on to the rest of the guys has been fun for me.
Sean, thank you so much. Wish you nothing but the best. Tell us again, where can we find this fight? Where can people go see this fight? What about you? They can follow you at Sean Merriman on Twitter and Instagram, I believe.
Yep, they can follow me at Sean Merriman on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. And then for the league, you can go to lightsoutxf.com. Commerce Casino, August 7th. We're going to have a huge show.
Can't wait for it. I'm wishing you the best. We're going to be looking to tune in for that. So make sure you follow Sean and make sure you look for that information. He's going to have more and more coming as this gets closer. But this is going to be a really, really fun night. And I'm really hoping to see a great night of really, really competitive fights that night.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Anytime.
You know, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Sean Merriman. I would encourage you to go check out his fight card this weekend when Lights Out Extreme Fighting, that is the LXF, returns for its fifth installment. Southern California's premier MMA organization is going to mark their comeback for the first time since COVID started globally, and we know what it did to sports. It stalled a lot of stuff. But on Saturday, this Saturday, August 7th, they have a jam-packed card. It is slated to broadcast live from the Commerce Casino in Los Angeles, California, and they are going to be showing it on Fubo Sports Network. You can access it at FuboSportsNetwork.com. Now, just a little heads up on what is going to be on the card. The co-main event is going to feature Leon Shahbazyan, the older brother of UFC prospect Edmund Shahbazyan. He's going to be taking on Moses Murrieta in a middleweight match. But there are also some additional matches on that fight card. 2016 Armenian Olympian wrestler Maxim Manoukian makes his professional MMA debut against Joseph Keith in a welterweight match. You've got former LXF title contender AJ Bryant taking on Sergio Quinones in a 150-pound catchweight fight. Former LXF lightweight champion Dominic Clark is meeting Mike Segura in a lightweight fight. A pair of LXF veterans in Gilbert Nakatani and Benji Gomez are going to fight it out in a 130-pound catchweight battle. Chris Padilla is making his return to MMA. After 3 years away, he's going to be fighting Devin Brock. Arnold Jimenez has a 4-fight winning streak. He's going to be fighting Marcos Bonilla in a featherweight fight. And, you know, just knowing how Sean Merriman does things, you know this is going to be an action-packed card well worth checking out. So you can go to the Commerce Casino in LA, or you can just go over to Fubo Sports Network and check it out over there. Hey, next week on The Dose, you know, we're trying to get through this dry time of year. Never fear, we are going to keep you entertained during this time. So make sure you stop by The Daily Dose next week and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. But trust me, we're going to keep you entertained as we start to ramp up and get ready for football season, which is going to be here before you know it. You know, you can also watch the video portion of our conversation over on YouTube. As usual, you can always go to DailyDoseSports.com, check out the podcast, check out the video over there. You can go read the articles that myself and Young Jimmy are putting up every week. So I would encourage you, go to DailyDoseSports.com and check out everything that is going on over there. And, you know, you can even pick up some Daily Dose gear while you are over there. So be sure to check out the website for the latest and the greatest on The Dose. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Lights Out Sean Merriman for stopping by The Dose and talking about your background, your NFL career, and, of course, your current project going on in MMA. It was absolutely awesome getting to talk to you, and we hope you will stop by again sometime. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel, for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out all the things we have going over there. We appreciate that so much. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show, sharing the video, sharing the links, sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.